Thanks for joining me. Friday, July 15th, and we're talking about your world champion Green Bay Packers once again. And to kick things off on the show, on the line right at this very moment, I have Kelly Hodgson-Klein of PocketDoppler.com. Kelly, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Brian. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Kelly, we've had a lot of Packers bloggers on the show, and just to start things off, can you just give us a little background, tell us a little bit about yourself and perhaps how you became a Packers fan?
Well, I grew up in De Pere, and I like to say I'm a third-generation Packer fan, and hopefully my girls, once they get over to do football, will be fourth-generation Packer fans. I lived in Wisconsin most of my life. I blogged about this. I grew up next to Mike Michalski. When I was a little girl, I thought Packers were old men that walked with canes.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed your post at PocketDoppler.com. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, Michalski, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Mike Michalski.
He was one of the first ever people inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I think.
Yeah, he was in the second class, and he was the first guard to go to the Hall of Fame.
But
when I knew him, he was an old man with white hair and glasses and a cane in a garden.
what was he like as a person? I mean, I think it's pretty rare that we are able to actually talk about a person like him from that era on the show. What can you tell me about him?
Well, he was like a grandpa to my brother and me. Our grandparents both lived in Madison, one lived in Detroit. And Mike was just a nice old man that let you ride his bike in his driveway. Didn't say much when you crashed your bike into his bushes. And my brother, when he was about four, declared that Mike was his best friend. And that picture that I put on that post of Mike laying in the grass with a little boy is my brother, who's now 35. And this is the picture my brother cherishes to this day. So I think he was actually closer than Mike because our grandparents lived further away than our actual grandparents.
That's very interesting. I was wondering if that happened to be a personal picture. It almost looked like it had to be. Kelly.
Yeah, that's the backyard, my parents' house.
Very nice. That's fantastic. Kelly, you're also a season ticket holder. I've noticed that season ticket holders can specifically order their own Super Bowl rings. Would you ever consider doing such a thing?
You know, I'm not much for jewelry. Probably not. If anything, I'll wear little Packer earrings. But the rings, even the girly versions, are really just way too bulky for me. Probably not.
I mean, are you excited this year for the season opening? I don't know which package do you have, green or gold?
We actually have club seats. We lucked out. We kind of fell into tickets the year that Rodgers became quarterback. So there must have been a mass exodus of people just jettisoning tickets. And it was strictly for strategic reasons because the waiting list was a lot shorter.
Okay. And, I mean, do you have plans on going to the season opening game against the Saints? I mean, I think that's kind of a game on everybody's, that's be anticipating at least, probably the game where they unveil the Super Bowl winning pennant or something along those matters.
Oh, absolutely. I've already got work plans, sitter plans already arranged.
Very good. I ask everybody this, Kelly, when is this lockout going to end?
I hope, if I was really optimistic, I would say about 7 o'clock tonight. I'm hoping for next week.
Very
I
good.
I think they're going to realize they're going to be hemorrhaging money if they don't end this soon. You know, I think preseason games are kind of a joke. You know, you can never get rid of your tickets. But I think owners and the cities that host these teams are going to start losing money hand over fist, and I think that they're going to be moving things a lot faster in the next week, at least I hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to the point here where it's got to end soon, and all the reports, at least that I see, are very positive. So hopefully we're getting near the end of it. Kelly, we'll be talking about the offensive line later in the show. Do you happen to have any thoughts? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but about this year's offensive line and perhaps maybe how good they can be?
I think they're silently underrated. I think Josh Sitton is one of the most underrated guards in the whole league. And I think if they can remain healthy, I think we may be looking at road tripping to Indy.
Fantastic.
Again, I hope.
I like the sounds of that. You know, anything to plug on Pocket Doppler? Any future columns we should be looking forward to there at PocketDoppler.com, the site you write for?
Oh, I might just plug the current article that Jamie wrote yesterday. It has nothing to do with Packers, but it's a fabulous introduction to women's soccer.
Yeah,
I think that her article was just a passionate, wonderful article. As for me, I'm going to write something irreverent, hopefully this weekend.
Well, once the lockout ends, we'll be waiting for your columns. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. It's great to talk to you and meet another Packer fan.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brian.
No problem. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Kelly Hodgson Klein of PocketDoppler.com. You know her on Twitter as Kelly K, and the Kelly is spelled slightly differently on the show. It is spelled CEALLAIGH_K. Kelly K at Twitter. So that's how you can get a hold of her there. And again, thank you everybody for joining us on the show this morning. As we talk about the Packers here on Railbird Central this morning. Welcome. Here I'm a little bit unprepared, but thanks for joining us. In the Packers news today, we'll get right to it. Once again, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the blog. If you scroll up, and it'll take you to a little page that looks something like this. And, you know, Kelly and I were just talking about the lockout, and the good news is progress seems to have been made yesterday. Perhaps significant progress. Can we put the modifier significant in front of progress? I'm going to. I've only seen that progress has been made, perhaps not significantly, but we'll look at the glass half full here. The cup of coffee half full this morning. And I suppose that, you know, yesterday the news of the day was that Packers president Mark Murphy was taking part in the negotiations, the labor negotiations that took place yesterday in, I believe, New York City. And, you know, you could perhaps, if you wanted to, credit the progress made to Packers president Mark Murphy. I don't know if we can go that far, but you know, Mark Murphy was there. And if you know, I have a couple links on the labor negotiations, etc., etc., here in our top story. But if you click this second one that says Murphy's attendance, you can actually be taken to PackersNews.com, and there's a photo of Mark Murphy yesterday joining the talks. And of course, it was even made note of. You can see in the picture that Mark Murphy took a plain yellow cab to the proceedings, you know, in an era where, you know, billionaire owners are taking private jets and chartered limos to things like this. Here's Mark Murphy hopping out of a yellow cab. You can see the cabs right behind him there. So, you know, good news on the labor front, I suppose. You know, I'm not an expert at labor negotiations, and you know, I try to trend away from saying too much for the simple fact that I'll probably say something foolish along the line here that I shouldn't have as we go through the jargon of what, you know, these legal terms and things like that. But, I mean, the word on the street is that they made progress on the rookie wage scale. That's kind of been a sticking point here for quite a while in these negotiations, and things they want to accomplish here as part of the new collective bargaining agreement. And also some news on a salary cap as well. And to me, the whole salary cap thing is very confusing. I heard reports that it would be around $120 million, which kind of I've seen reported elsewhere. But then something like another 10 million in benefits, and I was totally confused when that was reported by Chris Mortensen of ESPN yesterday. What $10 million or $20 million in benefits mean? And Andrew Brandt tried to Andrew Brandt himself of ESPN and the National Football Post, former Packers executive, tried to explain what that meant. And I think benefits means, like incentives, things like that that players might earn in their contracts. So we will see. This will be very interesting as more details leak out about the salary cap. And of course, it's kind of noteworthy because the Packers, as of this point, really don't have any salary cap room, at least kind of based on reports, and things aren't finalized yet. But right now they're kind of at their limit. But you've got guys like Mark Tauscher, who is slated to make like $4.5 million this year, and linebacker Nick Barnett, who's slated to make something else, or nearly the same amount as Mark Tauscher. And they're kind of two guys that people are pointing to that might be let go. Well, perhaps not let go, cut, but perhaps traded in the case of a Nick Barnett, perhaps retirement in the case of Mark Tauscher, or even renegotiated contracts. I mean, all these things are possible, are pro you know maybe not probable, but possibilities to happen. So it's interesting. I mean, we will see here as time goes on, and what may or may not happen with players on the roster. As far as the rookie wage scale goes, this is kind of another thing that's been bandied about for quite a while. People are mad that, last year's first round draft choice, Sam Bradford, just signed a huge contract. The first draft choice overall for years just makes tons of money before they even step on the field. They get huge signing bonuses and huge guaranteed salaries, and a lot of people thought that just isn't fair. Because they haven't played a play yet. I mean, not to say that, I mean, there isn't some value in being the first overall draft choice or being a first rounder. I mean, I think they do deserve to get paid more than a seventh rounder or any other round for that matter. But it's just the guaranteed money that they deserve their payday once they establish themselves and prove themselves. I mean, look at a guy like Jamarcus Russell from the Raiders, who was an absolute flop, and all the money the Raiders had to sink into him. It is just, it's something that needs to change, and it looks like it's going to happen, change to an extent. It looks like they're arguing over how long rookie contracts could be, especially for the first couple picks, whether it's 4 years, whether it's 5 years, that they're, under the control of the team. Again, these are all things that will play out here. John Rahor comments on the live blog. Read somewhere that there is a salary floor. The Bucks would actually have to spend $50 million more this season. It looks like a salary floor is going to happen, and perhaps the most interesting thing is that there's not going to be a huge discrepancy between the salary cap and the salary floor. Teams are going to have to spend almost the same amount of money every team in the NFL. Like, they have to spend within 90% of the salary cap. Like, have to. It's going to be part of the rules of a new CBA this year. So, teams a lot, this past year, the last year without a salary cap, no salary cap at all, they cut spending. Teams like the Buccaneers, teams like the Carolina Panthers cut spending a ton. Chief Packer checking in this morning on our blog. Good morning, Chief. And good morning to everybody. By all means, your comments are being approved this morning. Feel free to comment on our live blog. Our moderators, John Rahor and Jamie Jors, are approving comments. And by all means, if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, all of those tweets will get through to our blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player as well this morning. So those are my thoughts on the labor negotiations, and perhaps very boring to some. So we'll try to talk about football. The second half of the show after 8:30 this morning, we'll be going through our positions as we've been going through every position on the Packers in the run-up to training camp here. We'll be talking about the offensive line this morning. I'll be breaking them down, and by all means, if you want to break them down too, feel free to comment or call into the show even. I'll put the phone number up on the screen, 646-797-2909. If you want to call into the show and give your thoughts on any topic relating to the Packers, feel free. At 8:30, the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined by another guest this morning. It's kind of the Pocket Doppler-themed episode here on Railbird Central. Colleen Brenton, on Twitter, found in Idaho, will be joining us, and we'll be talking more Pocket Doppler talk and more about the Packers as well. So excited to have her join us here in the second half of the show. Elsewhere in Packers news today, if we get back to today's Packers Daily Links, another thing making the news, a blast from the past, and you know, kind of still on the topic of labor negotiations here a little bit. Running back Darrell Thompson, does that name ring a bell? He was the Packers' first round draft choice in, oh, it had to be the early 90s, 90, 91, somewhere around there. He filed a class action lawsuit yesterday against the NFL. And if you take this link right here, it'll take you to an article by Reuters. And you can see the lead there right at the top. Quote, a former Green Bay Packers running back filed a class action lawsuit against the National Football League, claiming it made unauthorized use of retired players' images to promote the league and generate revenue. Darrell Thompson. Remember Darrell Thompson? I remember him very, very closely or very well because, I mean, that was for me. Yeah, I'm 31 years old. Right about the time I was becoming a big football fan, probably, and we're talking elementary school, middle school, fifth grade, sixth grade for me, as I, you know, all of a sudden my interest boomed in football. Darrell Thompson was, you know, one of the first round draft choice and running back for the Packers. If I remember correctly, he was the running back on the Packers team on Super Tecmo Bowl for the NES Nintendo. That game was, of course, fantastic back then. That was like the best sports game ever made, video game ever made in the history of video games at the time. So I think it was kind of revolutionary in that case. Anyhow, enough reminiscence here. We don't have a whole lot of in the news today. There wasn't a whole lot of football things, a lot of politics and a lot of labor stuff and that type of thing. We have another story today. Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette found out that safety Morgan Burnett is at the center of some NCAA violations by Georgia Tech. And, you know, it's noteworthy, I guess, because Morgan Burnett is one of the key players. Supposedly, he was ineligible or should have been ineligible or something along those lines. And Georgia Tech is vacating its 2009 season or its ACC championship, something like that. And which is absolutely a joke. And I suppose there's no better forum than right here on Railbird Central where I can, you know, expound on something like this. But, you know, big news a couple week or two ago that Ohio State was vacating their wins from this past season from 2010. You know, with all the things that have happened there with head coach Jim Tressel lying to the NCAA or lying to the university about what he knew about his players, and of course, very high profile players, Terrell Pryor, who's now going to be part of the supplemental draft in the NFL and a couple other players at Ohio State as well receiving benefits or, you know, getting paid for selling jerseys or rings or what have you. You know, Ohio State vacates all their wins from this past season, and I just think that, you know, this whole thing of vacating wins is an absolute joke in football, college football. I don't know how much more of a joke it can be. I mean, nobody cares that they vacate wins. Nobody cares, but however much the NCAA wants to like think it matters, it doesn't. It happened. All those wins Ohio State had last year, their Sugar Bowl win, that happened. I'm sorry, by just by saying it didn't happen, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. I mean, it's a big deal. Nobody cares. It is such not a deterrent to behavior. It's unbelievable. You think Terrell Pryor, who's set to enter the NFL when they hold their supplemental draft, you think he cares? You think he cares that, you know, they vacated wins at Ohio State? And you know, just came to my mind actually. The supplemental draft is actually should have happened like right around this time of year. You know, I'm sure it's being held up because of the labor negotiations here, the lockout. But you know, right about now is when that supplemental draft is supposed to happen. And if I'm correct, I think Terrell Pryor is the only player eligible for the supplemental draft this year. I'm not sure if anybody else is declared for it. So that's something worth keeping an eye on. You know, the Packers, as well as any team in the NFL, if they want, can take part in the supplemental draft. So, I mean, it's possible, perhaps not likely, but possible that Terrell Pryor could be a draft choice of the Green Bay Packers. Who knows? But with Matt Flynn rumored to be on the outs in Green Bay, not necessarily right now, but in time, going to become a starter elsewhere in the NFL. You know, he's not going to be behind Aaron Rodgers forever. Who knows? The Packers may be looking to find a new backup of their own. I don't think Terrell Pryor is that person, but you know, just worth keeping an eye on. He's going to be drafted by someone out there. He's a very talented player, very athletic player. I'm not sure how much of a pure passer he is, but just worth keeping an eye on. John Rayor comments on the live blog on Daryl Thompson, how he was the successor to the immortal Brent Fulwood. Yes, Brent Fulwood, another blast from the past there as well. Neither of them did a whole lot in their careers with the Green Bay Packers. Oh. And Jamie Jors on her live blog as well, commenting on vacating wins and how foolish they are. I'm glad somebody is with me out there on that. So, and I assume many more are too as well. Just nothing they can do about the NCAA and universities can do whatever they want. And if they feel that vacating wins is a proper punishment, well, bully to them, I suppose. I'm not sure what's happening there, but unbelievable, in my opinion. Elsewhere in the news today, of course, big news yesterday, and it doesn't so much have to do with the Packers, but I suppose you could, you know, make the connection to football in general here, that Bruce Feldman of ESPN has been suspended by ESPN for working on the book of former Texas Tech football coach Mike Leach. Of course, I mean, this story gets very convoluted if you don't know much about it. Mike Leach was let go by Texas Tech. There's this very long and drawn out disagreement between him and Craig James, who also works for ESPN, former great running back at SMU, also in the pros. His son played for Leach at Texas Tech, and you know there was a big falling out there. Anyway, it's just a joke that Bruce Feldman has been suspended by ESPN. He had received permission from them to work on the Book of Leach, and I understand that there's, you know, kind of a, you know, with Craig James being part of you know, this disagreement there, there's perhaps some conflict in interest or, you know, disagreements between people at ESPN about what happened there. And perhaps they maybe never should have let or allowed Bruce Feldman to work on in the book to begin with if they wanted to avoid this. Even that, I think, it, you know, is quite a joke. And but, I mean, Bruce Feldman is a very respected football writer out there, and to suspend him is, you know, is laughable. I mean, it's all he's doing is helping Mike Leach write the book. It's not Bruce Feldman's opinions. I mean, maybe he agrees with Mike Leach, but I mean, this is the thoughts of Mike Leach coming out in this book, this autobiography he's released. You know, these aren't the opinions expressed in the book, at least, of Bruce Feldman. So, you know, to be suspended by ESPN is a joke. And as John Rahor puts right here on our live blog, the hashtag's Free Bruce. I encourage everybody out there to tweet Free Bruce, the trending topic on Twitter. So, by all means, you know, get that out there. Illinois Pack fan comments on the live blog: what does everybody think about the supposed salary cap of $123 million? How does that affect the Pack? You know, finally, let's talk about some Packers here. You know, a salary cap. Right now, the Packers don't have much salary cap room, supposedly. At $123 million, they have to make room just for simple things like signing their own draft choices. You know, they have 10 draft choices they have to sign. And of course, the one going to be making the most money would be first-round draft choice Derek Sherrod. You know, he'll probably have a salary right around over $1 million, $1 million to $2 million this year. I realize he came at the end of the first round. So, I mean, they are going to have to make room regardless. Perhaps not a lot of room, but, I mean, they're going to have to do something with guys like Mark Tauscher, Nick Barnett, maybe even more people than that, perhaps Brady Papinga. You know, they're going to have to slash some salary because on top of the draft choices they have to sign, there's going to be a whole slew of undrafted rookies they're going to sign. You know, they're going to sign about 10 to 12 of those guys. And then free agents. And two classes of free agents here. Their own free agents, guys like Mason Crosby, who, you know, who's guaranteed to come back, and others who are likely to come back, like running back John Kuhn. But, I mean, you know, if they want to perhaps sign guys like James Jones, Cullen Jenkins, Brandon Jackson, Darren College, they're going to need even more money. Now, I don't think it's likely they're going to sign those types of guys, but you know, they're going to have to slash even more salary to fit those guys under the cap. So, I mean, you know, a lot of slashing, probably not, but some is going to have to happen. And then if they want to sign any other free agents out there, you know, the Packers traditionally have not been big players in free agency, guys from other teams. You never know. Perhaps it could happen. They do sign once in a while guys that fly a little bit under the radar, like Brandon Chiller a couple years ago. So you just never know. When they find a bargain, a deal, or a fair deal at least, then they go out and sign those types of guys. It's 8:30. I'm going to take a break here, folks. When we come back, we'll be talking to Colleen Brenton of PocketDoppler.com. Hang with me here, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Corey Hall, fullback for the Packers. You're listening to Railberg Central.
You are listening to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Welcome back. Joining me, Brian Caribou, right now on the line is Colleen Brenton of PocketDoppler.com. How are you doing this morning, Colleen?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Colleen, like the rest of the bloggers we've had on the show, can you just give us a little bit of background about who you are and maybe how you became a Packers fan?
Well, I live in Boise, Idaho. I'm a native Idahoan. I have a husband and two kids, just kind of a ordinary Joe. I got to be a Packer fan because my dad was a big fan growing up because of Jerry Kramer and the University of Idaho. That's where pretty much all of my family went to college. So he got to be a Packer fan, and he passed it on to me.
Jerry Kramer's been in the news a little bit lately. He's had a little bit of a spat with Drew Brees. Not that these have been making big headlines by any means, but you know, Colleen, it's been debated about for so long whether Jerry Kramer should be in the Hall of Fame or not. I'm assuming you fall into that camp, but could you speak to that a little bit and perhaps when the time is appropriate, he should become a Hall of Famer?
Well, I've actually got a post up on Pocket Doppler a few weeks ago about that, and I know Jersey Al just did one as well. I feel very strongly, obviously I'm partial to Jerry in particular, but I can't believe anybody who is as good a player as he was, as high a level a player as he was, has been nominated 10 times and has never gotten into the Hall of Fame. I think that's crazy. And the man's 75 years old. I've said this on my blog post, and I've said it to his daughter Alicia. I really want this to happen before he's gone. I mean, he's in perfect health as far as I know, but I think it really needs to happen, and I think we all need to really help Alicia with her effort to get Jerry in there.
Colleen, as a person who lives in Boise, Idaho, I know you have a connection to the Packers that are from there. Is it safe to say that guys like Darren College and Corey Hall are your favorite players?
Corey's definitely my favorite. Darren wasn't as much because, you know, I used to yell at him when he got penalties and things. but I got to meet him this year and actually saw him around town a few weeks ago. Didn't really talk to him, just kind of was like, oh, my gosh, there he is. So now I'm a total homer for either one of them. If you criticize them, you know, I'm going to be on you.
It's kind of,
I have absolutely no objectivity there.
It's kind of interesting, actually, that just by happenstance, both College and Hall happen to be free agents right now. Do you think they'll both be back with the Packers this upcoming season?
I certainly hope so. Darren's play was outstanding last year, homer or no. Corey was hurt a lot, but when he played, he was really, effective. I mean, he had some good plays. So I certainly hope they'll both be back. I don't think Darren will be. I know Aaron Nagler said that as well, and I think he wants too much money, and probably deservedly so. Corey, I think, just from hearing comments he made when I was at his autograph signing, because people were asking him what was going to happen, he would really, really like to come back, and I think he'd be willing, not to put words in his mouth, but I think he'd be willing to make a deal. I know Mike likes him. I sure hope he'll be back.
Those of us who follow you on Twitter, I mean, I happen to know, I mean, you're actually not a Boise State fan, despite living in Boise, Idaho. I mean, do you struggle with, your allegiance toward these individual players as opposed to the team you root for?
No, because once they're Packers, they're not Broncos anymore.
and just to give a little more background, you're actually alum of the University of Nevada, am I correct?
Right. I grew up in Southern Idaho, but I went to University of Nevada. That's where I graduated from. My husband went to University of Idaho, and that's used to be kind of a big football rivalry. It isn't anymore, unfortunately. But that was a big thing too. So yeah, I you know, I every game I've ever been to that's a BSU game, I've been cheering against them, and their fans aren't always the nicest people in the world, to be honest.
So
it's kind of a problem around here. It's a problem around here during football season. You know, everybody's in blue and orange, and here I am in my silver and blue.
Yeah, I'm sure that causes some problems that around there. I ask everybody this, Colleen, when is this lockout going to end? Can you give us a prediction?
Oh, it would have ended yesterday if I had my way. It sounds like they're getting so close. If Jerry Jones doesn't open his big yap, or D. Smith doesn't open his big yap, or somebody, I hope by next Friday they've got it done. They really have to, or they're going to be in total trouble. And no, Chief Packer, I do not like au gratin potatoes, just so you know.
We're talking about the offensive line here very shortly, Colleen. Again, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you have any thoughts on the Packers' offensive line, how they might do? And, you know, I guess we alluded to it earlier. You mentioned you don't think Darren College is going to be back for the Packers. Maybe how will they replace him on the offensive line?
Well, I guess, you know, that's the question. You know, the line performed much, much better last year. I really hope that Darren will be back. You know, technically, as far as who would replace him, I know obviously there's some, you know, talent out there, and they moved some people around last year, and I really don't know how they will replace him. We've got some good potential. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
That's for sure. It'll be a big training camp battle. You know, anything we can look forward to at Pocket Doppler, any columns you're working on or will be publishing in the future at Pocket Doppler, anything you want to plug here?
I don't have anything germinating at the moment. Wally will tell you, especially during the lockout, you go really dry. You're doing great, Brian, but then, you know, that's your primary focus. I just can't wait for the lockout to end, because I think as soon as it does, there's all kinds of things to write about. I mean, like you said, training camp, there isn't just going to be a battle for the offensive line position. Even though Ryan Grant's the starter at running back, I think there's going to be a little bit of competition there in a way. It'll be interesting to see how Neo does. I think it'll be really exciting. I think there'll be a lot of conversation.
Very good. We're all anticipating the end of the lockout, so people came back to talking about competition on the football field. Colleen, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and have a good day.
Right, you too. Thanks.
Yeah. See you later. Colleen Brendan of PocketDoppler.com. Thank you to Colleen. Thank you to Kelly for joining us this morning on the PocketDoppler.com themed episode of Real Bird Central. And, you know, we just alluded to it. Every episode here of Railbird Central in the run-up to training camp, we're kind of previewing a position of the Green Bay Packers. And today we're going to talk about the offensive line. And I'll try to break it down, and feel free, if you want, at any time, call in with your thoughts as well or post them on the live blog. I suppose I'll start with the, you know, the guys who we anticipate to be starters, and we'll start on the left side of the line with Chad Clifton. I mean, we could talk about Chad Clifton for a while in his career. I mean, he's now, what, in his 12th, 13th year in the NFL, and he's been a solid guy, a multiple Pro Bowler. Perhaps not as great of a run blocker as he is a pass blocker, but at pass blocking, he is pretty elite and has been throughout his career. I personally just think he was an underrated reason the Packers won the Super Bowl last season. From about midseason on, Chad Clifton was fantastic, and which is in stark contrast to the beginning of the year when he looked actually pretty poor. It's a shame that it had to come to that, but I think injuries did play a part. But really, the end of the year, and especially the stretch run, those last two games that they need to win to get into the playoffs, and then the playoffs and Super Bowl themselves, Chad Clifton did fantastic. just really did. And, you know, the Packers drafted Derek Sherrod in the first round, which I think will be the left tackle of the future. But, you know, I think that, you know, Chad Clifton is going to be the starter this year. And, you know, barring injury, he's going to play there all year long. I mean, if he's, you know, going to come back this year, you know, he's not going to do it half-assed. You know, he's going to try once again to do as good as he can and win another Super Bowl. And you know, health willing, he'll be okay again. You know, this could be his last year in the NFL. I would go so far as to say I think it is. But, you know, he's the starter, and he's going to be, you know, playing there all year long, barring injury or some sort of collapse that Packers fans hope don't happen. On the opposite side, the other bookend, we've got Brian Bulaga, who, just like Chad Clifton, was a huge reason the Packers won the Super Bowl. Why am I saying Darren College? Because we were talking about him earlier, but Brian Bulaga, I don't think a lot of people share this opinion with me, but Brian Bulaga, prior to the playoffs, not good. I shouldn't say not good. Average to perhaps below average. I mean, when we're talking about all players in the NFL, I mean, perhaps if you were just comparing him to rookies, Brian Bulaga did okay last year during the regular season. But if you compared him to veterans in the NFL, all players, okay. But then in the playoffs, he was stellar. I'm not exactly sure where the turning point came. Perhaps it was that final regular season game against the Chicago Bears, week 17, in which Bulaga had like four penalties. And I mean, that, you know, it seemed perhaps to spark him to a playoff run where he was just solid. Did he give up any sacks in the playoff at all? I'm not sure. But again, he played so well. It was a reason the Packers won the Super Bowl and played well in the Super Bowl, lined up across from the outside linebacker from the Pittsburgh Steelers, not James Harrison, but his cohort there on the other side. Gosh, the name, it can't come to me at the moment here, and somebody can put it on the live blog if they want. But, you know, so you've got two incumbents at your tackle positions, at left tackle and Chad Clifton, right tackle and Brian Bulaga, and I think the Packers are set there. At right guard next to Bulaga would be Josh Sitton, arguably the best offensive lineman on the Packers. I think it's so weird what people think of Josh Sitton. Here's a guy who can't make the Pro Bowl even. You know, and it's not like there's a lot of players voted to the Pro Bowls. There's only three guards who actually make the team. So, I mean, there's not a lot there. But, I mean, to think he can't even be one of the top three guards in the NFC. You know, and again, I realize the Pro Bowl is not exactly the most objective way to analyze offensive linemen or any player for that matter. It's a popularity vote to an extent, voted upon by coaches, players, and fans who take into account career accomplishments. But then he was called the offensive lineman of the year in the entire NFL by the NFL Alumni Association. So on one hand, he's not good enough to make the Pro Bowl. On the other hand, he is the best offensive lineman in the entire NFL. That just boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. So in my opinion, he's more toward being the best offensive lineman in the NFL. I'm not going to go that far and say he's the best by any means, but he is all pro caliber in my opinion. He's the best combination of run blocker and pass blocker there is on the Packers. He does great at both, and he's really good at run blocking. He's the best bulldozer the Packers have. He's the, you know, the reason the running game works there, or, you know, isn't terrible. At least I'm not sure if the running game works in Green Bay, but it happens. At least next to Sitton, we have Scott Wells again. Another, you know, he's a veteran in the NFL. What is Sitton or Scott Wells going on here? He's going on about 9-10 years in the NFL as a veteran, and he is himself. Scott Wells, while he's perhaps undersized, a lot of people will say, he's put together back-to-back solid seasons in the NFL. His two best seasons in pro have come in 2009-2010. And what's interesting is 2009, he had actually lost his starting job at the beginning of the season to Jason Spitz. Well, Spitz gets injured at midseason and Wells takes over. And has just been fantastic ever since. Again, perhaps undersized, perhaps a reason they can't get a ton of push in the run game, but a fantastic pass blocker, keeps guys off Aaron Rodgers coming up the mill, and, you know, perhaps a guy the Packers have to replace down the line, but he's the starter this year, and next year too. I mean, again, barring any injury. So there's, you know, the guys who are almost guaranteed to be starters. And now I suppose we can analyze the guys, the jobs up for grabs. And you start with at left guard, where Darren College, he's a free agent. You don't know if he'll be back. Like most of these guys, good pass blocker, questionable run blocker. But, you know, the Packers are a passing team and they won the Super Bowl with him. I mean, he's good enough to get the job done. Darren College isn't a Pro Bowler, but he's a worthy starter in the NFL for a passing team. So, I mean, that's where we sit there with him, but we don't know if he'll be back. So who does get the starting job? You know, I think the guy who gets the first crack at it is TJ Lang, who's been an occasional spot starter for the Packers and perhaps maybe their top backup along the offensive line these past couple years. You know, he's kind of bounced around at several positions on the offensive line. And, you know, you hope, you know, if he sits at a spot and works there the entire time, he can develop there. He can get better there. You know, he's played everywhere from left tackle to right tackle to left guard. And, you know, I'm sure he's not really gotten comfortable anywhere. And that's the nature of the beast in the NFL. I mean, when you only have 7 offensive linemen active on a game day, guys have to bounce around. But so he's going to get the first crack, I think. So it's his job to lose, assuming Darren College doesn't come back. But he's going to have competition, lots of it, coming from the first-round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers, Derek Sherrod, who, I mean, will he be the left tackle of the future? Perhaps the right tackle even, maybe. But if he is one of the top 5 offensive linemen on the team, they have to figure out a way to get him on the field. And I think they'd like to keep him on the left side. So even though he might not play at left tackle, he'll at least get that, you know, that used to being on the left side and that left step, drop step, that left with the left foot at least. So... you know, I don't know how he's going to do. It's all projection at this point, but I mean, there was a reason he was a first round draft choice. So he'll be part of that if he's good enough. I mean, we'll find out in training camp whether, Derek Sherrod is good enough to be the starting offensive lineman, for the Packers this year. Another guy's name who's been thrown about is TJ Lang. I'm getting so many names confused today, and I apologize. Another guy who will be part of the competition is Nick McDonald. Nick McDonald, interesting case. He was on the 53-man roster every game last season, but active not a single game. Didn't play a single snap last year. He was an undrafted rookie. And it was impressive for him just to even make the roster coming out of training camp. So, you know, he'll get a shot this year. I mean, there's a reason the Packers kept him on the roster all season long. They didn't want to lose him. They didn't want him to sign with another team. So this was their way of keeping him around. And so you think, you know, there must be something they like about him. So, you know, again, he'll be part of the competition. I don't think he'll win it personally. I thought he was perhaps undersized last year, but who knows? Now that he's had a year in the NFL and knows what it's like to work in an NFL weight room and things like that, maybe he's had some bulk, maybe his technique has improved. I hope these things have happened. So again, you know, until training camp actually happens, it's all speculation on my point. So that's where we stand there. And once again, one more guy going to be fighting for this job at left guard would be Marshall Newhouse, a draft choice, I believe a fifth rounder last year, a guy who, you know, obviously the Packers felt at least during the draft was more valuable than Nick McDonald, seeing as they invested a draft choice actually in Newhouse. You haven't heard a whole lot of him. I don't think Newhouse was active for a single game last year either, but again, the Packers kept him on the roster the whole season. Interestingly, I think Marshall Newhouse went on injured reserve the last week of the regular season. You know, I think he got hurt during something like practice, but you know, again, there's a reason Packers kept him around. He'll be part of that fight. He's also backed up other positions as well. And again, just I can say this a million times, it's all speculation. It'll be interesting to see all these guys on the football field, all these guys fighting for a job. TJ Lang, Nick McDonald, Marshall Newhouse, Derek Sherrod. See how they all do. I mean, this is going to be quite the battle at left guard. And if not, they'll be backing up other positions as well. I mean, these guys are all be in the fight for at least a roster spot. You know, the other guy here we talked about earlier in the show, Mark Tauscher. He's a case of still being on the roster, but having a $4.5 million salary this year. And I think it's like a couple things are going to happen or, you know, possible to happen. He could retire, and maybe that's the graceful way of leaving the game. The Packers could cut him. I don't think, you know, the only way that would happen is if Mark Tauscher is insistent on coming back and fighting for a starting job and the Packers don't think he'll win. And I can't see that playing out. Or perhaps he could, if he wants to come back as a backup or just fight for a job, and he'll agree to a much lower salary than $4.5 million this year, maybe the Packers do that. You know, I think the most likely scenario is he retires. And perhaps he comes back, fights it out during training camp, finds out he's not going to win a starting spot, and retires like during training camp. That could happen. He could actually go through training camp with the Packers to see how things play out and then retire later. But I think as soon as this lockout ends, we're going to see the retirement of Mark Tauscher. And what a fine career he had, by the way. I'm glad he won a Super Bowl ring with the Packers, even though he didn't play in the Super Bowl. But a great player throughout his career. So, again, I'm just throwing out ideas in my head. You know, believe nothing I say or, you know, feel free not to trust it if you want. This is just one man's opinion here. Packer T comments on our live blog. Even if college comes back, Lang beats him out. So there you go. There's a strong opinion there. You know, the rest of the players, offensive linemen on the team, are guys who, you know, we'll just be fighting for a roster spot. Jason Spitz, who's been a starter for the Packers in the past, he's a free agent. You don't know if he's going to re-sign with the Packers or not. He may or he may not. If he does come back, I suppose you can throw him into that mix of, you know, one of the people possible to, you know, start at left guard, but far from guaranteed. Packer TS can Tauscher back up either guard position or left tackle? I doubt it. You know, I think he's a right side guy, a strong side guy. You know, so he would be, you know, backing up right tackle for sure, and perhaps right guard in a pinch. But I'm not sure Mark Tauscher is a left tackle kind of guy, and left side for that matter. So I guess that's working against Tauscher in a way, is that he's not really too versatile. I only see him backing up right guard in an absolute pinch. And only be, you know, if something were to happen, you know, I think they would do everything in their power to move Tauscher to right tackle and then move other guys around wherever they have to fit him in. That's how much lack of versatility Tauscher would actually add to the team. So, you know, I can just name off other guys off the top of my head. Evan Dietrich Smith, who's been with the Packers for parts of two seasons now. I believe he's gotten a little bit of playing time here and there, but nothing significant. A guy on the practice squad last year, Chris Campbell. Again, just fighting for a roster spot to be the last guy on the offensive line. He was signed to a futures contract after the season, a 3-year contract, I thought it was reported. So he's got that working in his favor. But, you know, I think another year in the practice squad would be about the best we're looking at from him, unless he really breaks out. And, you know, by all means, give him every chance. Have I gone through every player here? The other offensive lineman drafted this year in the 6th round, Caleb Schlotteroff. Again, just fighting for a roster spot. The odds are stacked against him because the Packers have the most depth they've had in the offensive line in a long time. This is the most depth of the Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson era. So I suppose we'll leave it at that and perhaps leave it on that note, which is a positive one. The most depth the Packers have had on the offensive line in the Ted Thompson era. There you go, folks. It's past 9:00. We're going to wrap up here. Thanks, everybody, for joining me this morning. Again, thank you to Kelly and Colleen for joining us as guests today on the show. Thank you to John Rahor and Jamie Lee Jors for being our moderators on today's show, and thanks to everybody for listening and watching out there. We'll be back on Tuesday for another episode of Railbird Central. Until then, see you later, everyone. Have a fantastic, fantastic weekend. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.